Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Phoenix Nation here on SENZ. Ricardo Ball with you through till 4 o'clock, and still to come, the Oppo Phoenix Fan Challenge. But before we do that, let's catch up with Giancarlo Italiano from the Wellington Phoenix, the assistant coach. G'day, Giancarlo. How are you?
Ricardo, very well. Thank you very much for having me on.
Man, my pleasure. Thanks for doing it. I know they call you Chief. What do you prefer?
Chief is fine.
Chief is fine.
Your colours, yeah. Your colours fine as well.
Okay,
yeah.
Good stuff, mate. Now, yeah. I wanted to talk about a World Cup with you, but before we do that, mate, how's the first week been of this kind of weird break that you guys have had in the middle of your season?
I think it's maybe good for a refresh for the squad to go back to. Maybe some issues that we need to address from the first six games. But in terms of continuity, it's probably a break that you wouldn't want in the middle of the season. It's probably allowed some other teams in the A-League a bit of a catch-up, and some teams with momentum has probably slowed them down.
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny one. I thought going into that Western United game, you know, after we'd had the big win previous, I thought, and we were 2-0 up in that, and then obviously cost us the pen. I was like, oh man, this break's coming at a real wrong time for the Knicks, just as we get a bit of a roll on. But then that comeback happened, and I was like, well, maybe not. I mean, what have the work-ons been post that?
We've been addressing a lot of defensive principles, as well as touching up on the attacking side. I think one of the performance was more an anomaly than something that's been occurring week in, week out. I think you're right. The game against MacArthur, I thought we were very good, and for about 65 minutes against West United, we were pretty much the dominant team. And you know, unfortunately, like, I mean, you've seen in this World Cup as well, momentum's an unbelievable element. And once teams get some sort of momentum behind them, they're very hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing. If you get a roll on, you get the confidence up, particularly in a short period of time, like you say, World Cup finals, you know, where it's seven games, it can make all the difference.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I think the signs are very promising from the first six games that we've had. And I think MacArthur was pretty much a sign where if we can do everything right for the 90 minutes, we'll be very hard to beat. But I think if you compare it to the the three seasons that we've had beforehand, it's still one of the better starts that we've had over those four seasons. So hopefully if things keep progressing the way they do, we can mirror what we've done in the last three seasons.
Yeah, fingers crossed, mate. Fingers crossed. Well, hopefully, when we get back on the field, that's what we see. Let's talk some World Cup then, mate. I'm picking with a name like Giancarlo Italiano. You don't have a team in this year's World Cup.
It's a bit of a controversial subject, but my father Italian, my mother Peruvian. I was born in Australia, and now I am almost a full resident of New Zealand. So I've got four teams. One out of four is not bad. So I've got the Aussie flag on this month.
Yeah, I was going to say you support more countries than UNICEF, mate. You're going well.
Yeah. It's tough having that many allegiances.
I know what you mean, mate. My mum's family are Italian, but where they're from is now part of Croatia. So, you know, and her maiden name was Vukic. So, you know, you go one or the other. You go one or the other, and then the old man's family's Irish, and I'm born and bred here. So, you know, it's one of those. You've got plenty of options, mate. Plenty of options. I mean, who are you liking at this World Cup now, given that the Italians aren't there?
Well, my big tip was Spain pre-tournament, and my two dark horses were Japan and Morocco. For me, I've followed Japan through the AFC qualifying for many years now, also following the Aussies. And Morocco, for me, the last World Cup underperformed with big expectations. I still stick to those three. I also like Argentina, but unfortunately, I think Argentina are plagued with the expectancy and the pressure of actually winning the World Cup, and Messi becomes more of a bigger topic than the actual national team and whether he can win it and whether he can emulate Maradona. So I think there's too much noise there still with Argentina, and I don't think the first game helped them with that pressure. But I like Spain. I think if you watch this morning's game against Costa Rica, I know Costa Rica probably gave them the second half, but the first half of Spain were unbelievable. And I still think they have a nice balance of old and younger players coming through. And I think they were very unlucky in the Euros. They lost to Italy on penalties. They should have probably made the final, and I think they probably would have been in England as well. So I think if you match up the lead-in to these tournaments, in qualifying, they were great as well. They're going to be very hard to beat.
Yeah, they will be. They look really hard to break down, and they look very. I mean, you got to break them down. You got to have the ball, and you know, as we saw today, I think Costa Rica had 18% of possession, which is it's not easy to do much with that, mate. Yeah, the Argies is an interesting one because I really like them going into the World Cup as well. They still now, of course, have to play Mexico and Poland, which on paper you would have said are more difficult games than Saudi Arabia, but they can still get through. And if they do get through now, you'd expect them to be on the other side of the draw, because the way things were looking, if things went the way you expected them to, that Argentina and Brazil would meet in the semi-final, but now they go to the other side of the draw. So part of me kind of hopes they go on a run now and we end up with a Brazil-Argentina final.
Yeah, my expectation before the tournament really centered around the fact that this World Cup is unusual in terms of teams' preparation time and the neutrality of Qatar. Traditionally, World Cup teams are often given an advantage on the continent they play. So whenever the tournament's been in America or South America, the South American teams have an advantage. There's only been one team outside of South America, Germany, when they won the World Cup in Brazil, and Brazil likewise when they won in Sweden a long, long time ago, but it always goes to a European nation. The last time it was played on a neutral event, 2002, Japan-Korea, there were a lot of shocks. So I kind of think that this is what's going to happen in this World Cup. Added with that preparation time, I think what you'll find is that you'll have a lot of so-called favourites finish second, mix it with the other half that will finish first, and you'll have one really strong side of the draw, and then the other side will be littered with teams that no one expects, maybe a Japan, a Morocco. You know, you could find a Mexico come out of nowhere, even a Poland at this stage. And I think that really makes it exciting because it keeps the intrigue in the tournament. I think these second matches in the group stage are going to present more shocks as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call. I'm looking forward to this as it rolls out. I mean, I've got to say, Chiefy, I put my hand up. I backed Japan at $7 to beat Germany. And before the tournament, I kind of said to a few people that I didn't think the Germans would get out of the group. They just don't seem to have any firepower, and particularly with Timo Werner injured and Kai Havertz not really a number nine. It's hard to see where the goals come from.
I think Japan, for me, Japan, for the last 25 years, have been putting the roadworks down to create footballers that can compete on a consistent, not just a one-off. And for me, it was watching that game, as much as Germany dominated that first half, you kind of felt if Japan get a goal in the second half and Germany don't defend well, the game's going to open up, and it almost went to tea. And the quality throughout the Japanese team is fantastic. I mean, I'm a Sampdoria fan, so we had Yoshida a couple of years ago at Sampdoria. He was great. But Maeda, Kuba, Kama, these are all players that are world-class or close to world-class players. And it's really a testament to the Japanese FA, the way they've designed and their development and where they're looking to the future. So that's why I think Japan have actually got a great chance to go really, really deep in this tournament.
Yeah, I agree. I think they could be a dark horse, mate. I also do rate the Croatians. I mean, I think this is a better Croatian squad than we saw in 2018, and they made the finals there. Probably the one thing they don't have is a Mandzukic. I mean, what do you make of the way that team is put together?
Yeah, I agree. I think their big issue is goals. I don't think they have enough goals to get them through to a later stage or plays that can get them into the quarters or semis. I still think they'll be very good on the back of the World Cup final 4 years ago, but I think that was the team that was primed for a big tournament. The Croatia are very hard to beat. I just think they needed to beat Morocco this morning in order to get the leg up to qualify. It'd be a challenge for them to get that second spot.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that was a game I expected them, you know, to probably do a 1-0 win or something along those lines to get through. I had them topping the group over Belgium, but we'll have to see how that all plays out now. What about Brazil? I mean, I'm loath to pick Brazil when people say, who do you like? Who do you like? It annoys me when people always talk about Brazil at World Cups because often they just see the name and they don't really look at the team. But this time, I think this is the best balanced Brazilian team that we've seen since maybe 2006. I expect them to go all the way.
Yeah, well, I agree. And the fantastic insight for the viewers, if they have Amazon Prime, the Brazil Selección, it's the documentary of the Copa America when they played Peru in the final, and it went through their whole preparation going into that tournament. And Tite, the way he is as a coach, he's a very, very big on motivation, keeping the unity of the group and not having players bigger than the actual team. And it gave great insight, but it also showed they are also in the same boat as Argentina in terms of the expectation of the public, the expectation of the world. And for me, when I look at Brazil, I think the big issue is not the quality on the park. It's the quality they have off the park and how Tite uses the bench. So he's got, for me, too many strikers in a team, such as Martinelli, Gabriel Jesus. He's got Alisson and Edison in goals. Like, these are all unbelievably world-class players. And how you manage that and their expectation and how you match up against opponents, for me, that's going to be the real key. And I think if he does that well and he keeps them in check, I think they win the tournament easily. But this also is a little bit like 1990. I know I'm going a little bit back here, but Italia 90, Brazil had unbelievable qualifying. They go into the tournament. They had all the players. Dunga's the captain. And then they go into a second round against a depleted Argentina. Maradona on one foot gets an assist, and Caniggia wins them the game with 1-0. So it's not a clear cut. I think where they just romp over teams. I think there's a lot of obstacles, and I actually think they're not going to win the tournament for that reason.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, Chiefy, just before we let you go, mate, Mitch Langerak has been done a dirty by Graham Arnold.
I wouldn't say done the dirty. I think, I mean, I don't like to comment much on the Australian players. Mm. I think in terms of calibre, I think, you know, Redders and Vukovic are good keepers and they were involved for the whole qualifying series. I think the issue you have is, you know, Ryan not starting at Copenhagen for the reason of going over there. But, you know, Maddie's been the keeper there for the Australian team for quite a number of years, and he's done very well. Either way. You know, there are a lot of players that missed out on the squad that you could make the argument for. And it's just, unfortunately, you know, it used to be 23 spots, now it's 26, but someone's got to miss out and you can make a case for any of those players.
Yeah, good stuff, mate. All right. Hey, Giancarlo, thank you very much for your time, mate. Go well, and we'll catch up with you again soon, eh?
Appreciate your time.
Cheers. Giancarlo Italiano, the assistant coach of the Wellington Phoenix men's team, talking World Cup with us. It is 14 away from 4.